I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, praise God. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Praise the Lord. Indeed, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise in my heart. And today we can enter the presence of God in that manner, not because we have confidence in our flesh or in ourselves, but because of what Christ did for us. And let us read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 to 16. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now watch those last words. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, do you realize that these words Paul said, or I believe it's Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, these words Paul said were somewhat controversial if you look at them in the light of Old Testament rituals. Here's what we need to understand. Under the Old Covenant, not everyone could enter inside that tabernacle or the temple to do certain rituals. That was a privilege of the priests. And yet, even among the priests, only one, called the high priest, had the privilege of taking blood to present it in the Holy of Holies. And that person needed to enter that place righteously. It was a very fearful event, and it only used to take place once in a year on the Day of Atonement. It was very sacred, and the person entering the Holy of Holies, you know, that particular year, I believe that was the longest distance that person traveled from the gate which led into the tabernacle to the Holy of Holies itself. Not the longest distance by meters or kilometers, but by the weight of the burden the person carried, because he could come out of that place either alive or dead. And the kind of clothing the high priest would wear, it needed to have, you know, some sort of bells to produce sound as he was walking.
And now, since only a high priest could enter that place, there were two things which could happen. If a person did not, if he entered that place not in a right way, he would die there, because the presence of God, the pillar of cloud, was there. And scholars and historians tell us that the high priest would actually be tied on his leg. There was a rope tied to, you know, one leg of the priest. As he's walking, there is a sound. The bells are making that sound. There is a sign of life. But if he stays there, he prolongs, you can't hear any sound. There was a higher likelihood that the person had died, and so you have to pull him out. And in entering that Holy of Holies, you are presenting the sins of the people. You are representing the nation of Israel. And it's a very fearful event. You enter there with fear, not with boldness. But here, in the book of Hebrews, we are told there is a new living way which God has opened for us to enter the Holy of Holies. And we have a high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all what our sins are were cleansed by the one-time sacrifice he did and the shedding of his blood. And for that reason, we are told, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We don't go before that throne of grace with our heads bowed, with our faces full of shame. No. Like in another place, Paul says, he says, let us behold in that glass with open faces. That is what the Lord has accomplished. That is what he accomplished for us, that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, friends, that is a privilege which not even a high priest under the old covenant had. For one to enter into the presence of God with boldness. With boldness, not because of our righteousness, but the complete work of righteousness that Christ did on our behalf. And when one has truly received that complete work of Christ, they won't live carelessly to say, oh, you know, Christ did it all, so I can live anyhow. If one says that, it actually is the evidence that they haven't received a true revelation of what Christ did on their behalf. Because a person who has received the sacrifice of Christ, they will love Christ so much as not to disappoint him, to live a life that is filthy or a life that is sinful. And even when they fall in error, it is something which will grieve their heart. And because they know that that is abusing what the blood of Jesus Christ has done. And now, when we repent our sins and the Holy Spirit comes in us, the Holy Spirit comes in us to give us the ability to walk in righteousness, in so much that whatever righteousness is going to manifest out of our lives, we can't boast of it, because it is a result of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, what happens is Satan can attack a child of God, leading them into compromise or sin. And when that happens, Satan has one objective, and that is to rob your confidence away. Because, like we saw in yesterday's testimony of Brother Branham, as he tried to pray for the child, God spoke to the prophet saying, you are not fit to do that. You lied. When you remember the testimony we were reading yesterday. He says, the Lord rebuked me and said, you told a lie and you ain't fit to pray for that baby. Now, that does not mean the covering of the blood of Jesus has lost its work. No, we are covered. But you see, when we are covered by this precious blood of Jesus, we ought not to abuse it. When we do that, our own heart will condemn us. And when our own hearts condemn us, we get disarmed. How do we get disarmed? We lose the confidence of standing boldly. Why? There is something nagging at our hearts. Now, let us read 1 John 3, verse 20. And herein we see how sincerity is such a very important thing. It affects the effectiveness of our prayers. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Put another way, when our hearts condemn us, we lose the confidence. We can't pray with confidence because our own hearts are condemning us. And if there is one thing a person needs when they are engaged in warfare, even physical warfare, as in the army fighting in a battle, one thing that is needed is courage. Courage. You see, when you look at the vision we were studying, we were looking at the start of this daily devotion this week, remember when that poisonous mamba snake was attacking that Christian brother in the vision, God told the prophet that you have been given power to bind him. So he had the power to do that. And that is what God told him. But the prophet said, but how do I do that? And the answer came saying, you must be more sincere. So you see, the power is there. But if there is no sincerity, if there is something that condemns your heart, although the power is in your hands, the insincerity robs you of the strength to hold the sword of the word. Can you see that? The power is there. The Lord put it in our hands. And Christ already overcame. Christ already gave us the victory. But when there is insincerity, when there is doubt, when there is unbelief, it takes away our strength. Now, let us go to the book of Joshua. Let us go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, God gave Joshua a very wonderful promise. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, listen to God's promise to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God promises Joshua, victory is already yours. Every piece of land I have given it to you. He goes further to say, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, this is all exciting. Everything is in your hands. You have the victory. You have it. You have it all. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, listen. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. So, we see two things here. God's promise, which says, I've given you everything. this land, that land, it all belongs to you. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread on is all yours. Every place, not some of the places, every place is all yours. But you've got to be strong and you need to have courage. In other words, you need to have confidence. It's one thing for God to give you victory, to give you a promise. It's another thing to have confidence. So you can be a child of God, having all the blessings and all the promises waiting before you, but where there is no courage, where there is no confidence, there'll be loss. Do you see that? Now, what things will affect the courage? Like we read in the book of 1 John, where there is no confidence, maybe your heart condemns you on something. It can never be that your heart condemns you and at the same time you have courage. No, what you have is pretense. As long as there is an inner condemnation, it robs you of the strength, the will, the courage to fight. And you know what? It happened in the time of Joshua. When you read the scene of Achan, you remember that? The scene of Achan. The Israelites, that is in chapter 7, they were enjoying the victories. They overcame Jericho. It was so wonderful. But you know what happened? One of the Israelites, they did not follow the command of the Lord. Achan, a man called Achan, had stolen something. He hit something which was accursed. A thing God had commanded, don't take the accursed thing. He took that. And when these men went to war, they lost. Does that mean God never kept his promise that every source of your feet, wherever they shall tread on, it shall be yours? No, God was still faithful to his word, but there was sin in the camp. And when there is sin, the chain is broken, the chain of faith among people. There was one link which knew it did a wrong thing, and it exposed Israel. My brothers and sisters, we need to be sincere. Sincerity is, it goes along with righteousness. It goes along with putting on the whole armor of God. Any point we do wrong and our heart condemns us, or we have an issue against a brother or sister, we are carrying an issue against them. Remember what the Lord said? Do not give your offering first. Make things right with that person you offended, or whatever issue you may have between the two of you. Why is the church in a very weak position today? Because of carnality. Carnality, and it manifests in different ways. People gossiping against each other. People feeling that one did this and that to me. People even doing certain sinful things in dark corners of their hearts. That just weakens the body of Christ. And you know what? If we are going to experience a revival, we have to go back and do what the early church did. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira manifested a dishonest behavior and they died right there and then? That was living in the midst of believers. And now, but what a beautiful thing it is when believers begin to come together. Do you know that many fellowships in different places, prayer has gone out of their midst? There are no longer prayer meetings, prayer and fastings, waiting on the Lord. Brother, sister, read your Bible. Whenever God was doing something among people, even reading history, there had to be more time spent in prayer, waiting on the Lord, going out, doing the works of the Lord in witnessing and sharing the word of God. There has to be that, you know, but Satan has robbed that away from believers. Like the late brother John Mark Lauzi said, he preached a message in which he said, you see, the Bible says, redeem your time. Why do we have to redeem it? Because the devil has taken it and has put it in his pockets, and now we need to fight for it and redeem it. There will never be an excuse to say, you know what, I'm too busy. I always go for work. I do this and that. Redeem your time. You can never make your walk with Christ to be a part-time activity, and all other things of the world are your full-time activity. And yet, the very power that causes your heart to pulsate and breathe is in the hands of your Creator, and yet He is only a part-time friend in your life. It can never be. As for me and my house, whatever I do, God is our full-time activity. May the Lord richly bless you. I hope these thoughts have been a blessing to you. Thoughts on you need to be sincere. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.